The subject of this lecture is life in the shadow of today's apocalypse. We are going to use Islam as the template for and now analyzing the situation. Looking back through history, so much of it is not a happy story. In the case of Islam, you look at the destruction of Baghdad in the center of Islamic civilization and the wholesale slaughter of the inhabitants by the Mongols and so on and so forth, whose troops were led by a Christian general, by the way. That's a fact that's not that well known. And other disasters. Now, the obvious question people ask is, how could God allow a disaster like this to take place? And since we are not God, we cannot give a definitive answer to that question. However, we need to look at life from a different point of view. The point of view that is expressed in the Quran. Islam is the world's simplest religion, and it is in many ways the world's most scientific religion. Life is very simple. You serve God. That is the bottom line. Now, the details of what you do and so on are defined in the Quran, but it's a very clear and simple agenda. That is the be all and end all of life. Now, when you talk about the mercy of God, you have to think about who God is. He's master of reality. He rules billions of galaxies and so on. So why should he pay any attention to you? It's an act of mercy that he even notices that you exist. That is an act of mercy. In light of the failings of humanity, it's an act of mercy that he hasn't wiped the entire human race off the planet many times over. So that's mercy. We want to talk about a problem that many Americans have in trying to understand Islam. Americans like to talk about rights. People have a right to this and a right to that, and so on and so forth. Part of it comes from their really rather nonsensical Declaration of Independence, where they claim God has given them rights, including every person has a right to pursue happiness. No, every person does not have a right to pursue happiness. These are nonsensical statements. And they are statements that are completely in contradiction to not only Islam, but most other great religions of the world. You have to step back and realize that the so-called Enlightenment in Europe in the 18th century was not really much of an enlightenment and is a highly arbitrary collection of ideas with little track record in history. So you need to keep that in mind. People don't have rights. They don't. They have obligations. They have a responsibility to serve God. You perhaps jumping through a series of intellectual hoops could say they have rights insofar as Allah, God, the Almighty, has promised them paradise in accordance with following the will of Allah. I guess you could call that a right, but it's really much more a responsibility, and it is the insight of Allah that judges people. Islam contains rituals, and rituals matter, but rituals do not get you into paradise. It is intentions, and it is the sincerity and reality of intentions that get you into paradise. Now, we need to clarify in the shadow of the apocalypse that's taking place what Islam does and does not promise. Islam promises people the doors of paradise if they follow and serve the Almighty. That's it. Islam does not promise you to become a billionaire. Islam does not promise you all sorts of goodies in the world here. It can produce that. Allah is master of reality. He can make you a billionaire if he wants to. But that is not promised. The only promise is paradise, and you serve here. That's it. Now, this also involves making decisions, because this is another problem left over from the 18th century. Now, you've got to understand, the 18th century was a reaction to the disasters of Christianity in Europe, culminating in the 30 Years' War, where a third or a half the population of Germany ended up getting killed off as the various followers of Jesus slaughtered each other in a totally chaotic mess. And that's where you got the age of so-called reason, where people would make decisions on the basis of reason. And we're all for people making the decisions on the basis of reason. We're all for science, so on and so forth. Here's the problem, that in making decisions in life, science and reason go only so far. It's like the fog of war that you have to guess. And this is where prayer comes in. Prayer is the communication. It's like your cell phone line to the Almighty. And how do you make decisions? You can't know the answers to a lot of things, okay? You have to guess. And this is where the help of the Almighty. But why is Allah going to help you? Why is he going to help you? Why? The only reason he's going to help you is you serving him, period. So this is a short lecture, but we just wanted to clarify the point that you don't have rights. You have responsibilities. Your value as an individual soul outside of Allah is zero. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. You have no value by yourself. The only value you have is as an extension of Allah. Now, this also goes, by the way, to politics, which probably should be the subject of another lecture. It is anything but clear that Western-style democracy is somehow the agenda ordained by Islam, like some people have claimed. This is all unclear. We don't pretend to suggest that this or that political system is the system ordained by Allah. In politics, however, there's a sort of critical mass of people who are enlightened, people who are good, who keep society together. What percentage and what level of influence they have, we don't know. But at a certain point, they become a society becomes viable or not viable, and history is a process of thousands of years. So the fact that a false system might have arisen for 100 years or whatever is largely irrelevant. But it's important to understand the beginning and the end of the vision of Islam, which is the service to the Almighty, the living God, the master of reality.